Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nigamakalpataro galitam balam sukamukadam ritadravusamyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam uhurahurasikabhuvibhavukah Narayanam namaskritya naram caiva narotamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tatojaya mudirayat nashtaprayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 38, text 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Akruro pi cha tam ratrim madhu puryam mahamatihi ushitva ratam astaya prayayo nanda gokulam. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Akruro picha tam ratrim.
Akruro picha tam ratrim.
Madhu purvam mahamati. Ushitva ratam astaya. Prayayo nanda gokulam. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Akruro picha tam ratrim. Madhu puryam mahamatihi. Ushitva ratam astaya. Prayayo nanda gokulam. Shuka Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami said. Ushitva. Sorry. Akrura.
Akrura.
Apicha. And.
Tam.
That.
Ratrim.
Night. Madhupuryam. In the city of Mathura.
Mahamati.
High-minded.
Ushitva.
Remaining.
Ratam.
His chariot.
Astaya.
Mounting.
Prayayo.
He set off.
Nanda Gokulam.
For the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, after passing the night in the city of Mathura, the high-minded Akrura mounted his chariot and set off for the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, after passing the night in the city of Mathura,
the high-minded Akrura
mounted his chariot and set off for the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Kamsa ordered Akrura to go to Vrindavan on the Ekadasi of the dark fortnight of the Vedic month of Phalgun. After spending the night at Mathura, Akrura left early the next day. That evening, Narada offered his prayers to Krishna in Vrindavan, and in the afternoon, the demon Vyoma was killed there. At dusk, Akrura entered the Lord's village. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svah Padantikam Mukham Bharoti Vachalam Pangrang Langhaite Girim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinum. Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadru Madha Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanishto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prashtalibi Sevyamanu Smarami. So, first of all, I should say I'm very happy to be here once again. Maybe because once a long time ago I did some seva for a little bit for Radha Vallabha many years ago, about 30 years back or more. So by their mercy now I find myself back again at their lotus feet. And Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, Sri Sri Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra and Srila Prabhupada in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. Yes. So this verse is beginning to describe how the great devotee Akrura arrived in Vrindavan Dham. Actually, Akrura, although he was a pure devotee of Krishna, he was sometimes engaged in the service of Kamsa. And Kamsa, as you all know, is a big demon. So sometimes we find that for various reasons, sometimes devotees also have to be obliged to do some service for the demons. We know another example of this is the sixth Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. They were working for Nawab Hussein Shah, who was at that time the king of Bengal under the Mughal government. That time India was under the control of the Mughals, the Muslims. And the king of Bengal at that time, Nawab Hussein Shah, was a very cruel king, very, very cruel and very very powerful also. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, although they were also pure Vaishnavas, but because of one reason and another they were obliged to be engaged in the service of the Muslim king of Bengal at that time. So sometimes it happens that devotees get asked to do things by certain demonic people, and somehow for some reason or another they're obliged to do these things. Recently I was asked to write a speech for the president of Indonesia, so because he asked me to do it, I had to do it. Can't really say no. And sometimes these things happen. Anyway, Akrura was sent by Kamsa to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura for the wrestling match. So Kamsa, his plan was that he would bring Krishna and Balaram to Vrindavan, and because they were just small boys at that time, innocent young boys, he was going to bring this Mustikar and Chanura, who were very big, like you can say something like Mike Tyson, wrestling champion of India, something like that. They were very, very powerful. So he was thinking that we'll have the wrestling match and Krishna and Balaram will be killed by these two wrestlers. This was Kamsa's plan. So Kamsa, because he was such a big demon, he thought that he would be able to kill Krishna and Balaram in this way. Of course, as we know, it turned out differently, because Krishna and Balaram, although they appear to be small innocent village boys, but actually they are Supreme Personality of Godhead and the source of everything, the most powerful. Nobody can even imagine that they will be able to defeat Krishna and Balaram. But still Kamsa was thinking like this, and he deputed Akrura to go and bring Krishna and Balaram out from Vrindavan to Mathura for this wrestling match. So this incident of Krishna and Balaram coming out from Vrindavan and going to Mathura Basically, Krishna's Leela can be divided into three sections. The first is the Vrindavan Leela, then Mathura, then Dwarka, like this. So this was going to be the end of the Vrindavan pastime. Of course, externally speaking, because the Vrindavan pastimes also go on forever, but this was going to be the transition from the Vrindavan pastimes to the Mathura pastimes. And many of the devotees in Vrindavan did not appreciate Krishna going out from Vrindavan, especially the gopis. And especially Nanda and Yasoda, they did not appreciate Krishna going out from Vrindavan. And in fact, Akrura was later on cursed by the gopis because they believed that because of this Akrura, Krishna was the one who asked Krishna, "You please come to Mathura." So the gopis, they did not like this. And although the gopis and Akrura, they are all pure devotees, but their mood is a bit different, and the gopis do not get along with Akrura. They do not get along with Akrura. They actually cursed him, and because of this cursing, Akrura, later on, he got implicated in the Shamantaka jewel scandal, which is another big event which goes on in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. It's described. Akrura, he's a pure devotee of Krishna, and as you know, there are 9 processes of bhakti: Shravana Kirtanam, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Padasevanam, and so forth. So one of the 9 processes of devotional service is Vandanam, or offering prayers to Krishna. This is one of the 9 processes of devotional service. And Akrura is given as an example of a devotee who achieved perfection by this practice of Vandanam, offering prayers to Krishna. So we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam and also in other shastras, Ramayana, Mahabharata and other Vedic literatures, we find there are many prayers which have been compiled or composed and spoken by great devotees are given here. And one example is these prayers of Akrura. You'll be reading them coming up in the next few days. These beautiful prayers which were offered by Akrura to Krishna. And he actually became perfect by this process of offering prayer. So similarly, devotees, they can also practice this process of offering prayers to Krishna. There are 2 ways. One is reciting notable prayers. It means that you memorize or read out some prayers which are offered by great devotees. There are prayers of Kunti Devi, prayers of Shukadeva Goswami, these prayers of Akrura, and many, many other prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So sometimes the devotees like to memorize these prayers in both Sanskrit and then in English or whatever language you understand, and then recite these prayers regularly. And by doing this, you can actually enter into the mood of those great devotees, how they appreciate the glories of Krishna. So this is very good. And the other way is to offer your own prayers to Krishna. You can speak, after all, Krishna understands all of every language. So you can even offer prayers to Krishna in English. And Srila Prabhupada also, he himself compiled some prayers to Krishna. There are those 2 famous prayers which are written by Srila Prabhupada himself, which are given in the song book, this Markini Bhagavat Dharma and the other one. These are very beautiful prayers which Srila Prabhupada himself compiled in Bengali and Sanskrit language, and the translation is also there. So naturally, devotees in their mood of serving Krishna, in their mood of appreciating the glories of Krishna in various ways, they like to feelingly offer prayers to Krishna. And Krishna hears these prayers and appreciates, and he will reciprocate. So we should not think that Krishna is simply a statue. He's up there on the altar and we do some rituals every day. No, Krishna is actually there. Radha Balabha are actually there, and how Radha Balabha came to Melbourne and how they were installed in the temple, this is a very long story. I was fortunate enough to participate in these pastimes. But Krishna is certainly there in the temple. Of course Krishna is everywhere, but at least in the temple. And the devotees, when they come before the deities, they like to offer some prayers to Krishna. At least, at the very least, they say, please Krishna, give me a chance to engage in your devotional service. At least that prayer you should offer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So anyway, Akrura is an example of a devotee who actually reached perfection by this process of vandanam, or offering prayers to Krishna. So you can also do this. You choose some particular prayers that you like and you recite these prayers in front of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of this Brahma Samhita prayers, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So we offer, this is also prayers. These prayers were offered by Lord Brahma, actually, to Krishna. So we chant this every morning when we have the Shringar Arti. Anyway, this Krishna's, between Mathura and Vrindavan is not such a great distance. You can go in an auto rickshaw, maybe it might take you half an hour. It's not that far. I suppose if you went by a horse it might take you, of course nowadays the road is very good, but those days the roads weren't very good, so maybe it might have taken a crew or perhaps a whole day to go from Mathura to Vrindavan. And then he met with Krishna and Balaram and requested them to come to Mathura. So there's also a story how even Kamsa himself had once gone to Vrindavan. Kamsa, even from the very beginning, he sent so many demons to Vrindavan to kill Krishna, starting off with Putana, then Trinavarta, and so many demons, one after another. Because he was a demon, he had many friends who were demons and who had mystic powers. So he was sending them off to Vrindavan one after another, and that was the end of them. So he got very much confused about this. How is it that my friends who are so powerful are going to Vrindavan and this cowherd boy is somehow, something is going on? So he, at one point, Kamsa set out for Vrindavan. He wanted to go himself. So Purnamasi, who is actually Yogamaya, Subhadra, she did not want Kamsa to come into Vrindavan and disturb. Actually, this is the situation. Nobody is allowed to enter, to enter into Vrindavan, because this will disturb the rasa, it will disturb the bhava, disturb the mood of Krishna and his devotees. So they are prevented from entering. Anyway, Kamsa came there, so even now you can see there's the road to Mathura, the Parikram mark comes, there's like a three-way, it's a footpath intersection. Maybe now already they put this sealed road, but anyway, there's three ways. One is the Parikram mark coming around, and this one goes to Mathura, so this is where the road joins, the Mathura road and the Vrindavan Parikram mark joins. So Purnamasi met Kamsa there, and she actually took Kamsa and put him into the Manasarova and turned him into a gopi. Because you cannot go into Vrindavan, you have to become a resident of Vrindavan, then you can go into Vrindavan. Otherwise you may physically be there, but not really in Vrindavan. Anyway, turned Kamsa into a gopi and said, now I will introduce you to the other gopis. So introduced, this is a new gopi. So because you have become a gopi, you have to have some savour for Krishna. So they decided, what savour will they give to Kamsa, who had become a gopi? So he said, all right, your seva will be making this from the cow dung. I don't know if you've seen this in India. The ladies, they get the cow dung and they mix it up like this with a little bit of straw, and then they plaster it on the wall and they leave it there for some time after it becomes dried out, and then they use this for cooking. It's very good. They make a small, what did you call it? Indonesian, they call it tungku. It's like
a
yeah, the thing for a small cooking thing. You put coal inside and you light this, and it's this for cooking. Whereas nowadays you've got this high-tech gas and electrical microwave and all these kinds of things. But those days they would just make a small thing from clay or metal and put some wood or coal inside for cooking. So they use this dried cow dung for cooking, and it's very good because the heat is, it's like the slow heat, it doesn't burn things. Anyway, they had Kamsa doing this, so he was getting the cow dung and mixing it up with straw and putting it up, but because he was the king, he had never done this before. He never touched cow dung in his life. So he was trying to make these things and they were falling apart. So the gopis were saying, what kind of a gopi are you? You're stupid. You must be an imbecile. Because even such a simple thing of mixing up cow dung and putting it on the wall, even this you cannot do it. You must be an idiot or something. So Kamsa was very upset because after all he was the king and nobody ever dared to speak like this to him. So it was, for him it was very, very unpleasant. So he said, this is a horrible place. This Vrindavan is a horrible place. Nobody ever spoke to me like this. Take me out of here. I cannot stand it anymore. So then Purnamasi said, all right, I'll very well, took Kamsa and once again dipped into the lake, and he became Kamsa and he went back to Mathura and he said, I will never go to Vrindavan again. This is the worst day of my life. This story is there. Usually when you go on the parikram with the devotees in Vrindavan, they tell this story. So in this way, Purnamasi was able to stop Kamsa from going to Vrindavan and disturbing things. So when you go on the parikram and you come to that three ways, you can remember that pastime. Yeah. So anyway, Akrura is going to enter into Vrindavan, and he, even though he was acting as a messenger of Kamsa, but he was very happy because he was getting a chance to go to Vrindavan, even though what he was going to do was not altogether very nice, because Kamsa was, his plan was to kill Krishna, but Akrura thought that because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will understand. And in any case, I'm getting the chance to see Krishna and Balaram, so this is very nice. So Akrura was happy. Naturally, devotees, whenever they get a chance to go to Vrindavan, they become very happy. And even if they don't get a chance to go to Vrindavan, they always think about Vrindavan in their mind. Even if you think about Vrindavan, your mind becomes purified. So devotees should always, at every moment, think about the holy places of Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri, and these other holy places, especially Vrindavan, because this is actually the real home for the devotees, not Jakarta or Melbourne or Delhi or some other place, but the real home for the devotees is actually Sri Vrindavan Dham. And great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, they create temples or ashrams of the Lord in different places. For example, in Melbourne, Srila Prabhupada, by his desire, has created this Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, which is actually a replica of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And here people can have darshan of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. They can engage in the service of the deities. And actually, as Rupa Goswami mentioned, seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi. What we practice in this material world as sadakas, as devotees who are practicing or learning devotional service, doing the service of the deities and so forth, when we become perfect in our service, then we can continue the service in the spiritual world as Siddha, perfect devotee. So we shouldn't think that the temple is doing the service of the deities is some kind of how you can say job, quote unquote. But actually, we should understand that we are practicing to do this service for Krishna. Practicing. When we become perfect in our service for Krishna, then there's no need for us to be in the material world anymore. We can go back and do the same service in the spiritual world. And in fact, the service of the deities, the daily seva puja, which is conducted to the deities, actually a replica of the service which goes on to Krishna in the spiritual world by his devotees. The aarti and these things are going on, actually duplicating Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, in fact. Of course, we should not imagine that we have become very elevated. All of these things, we are simply doing them. We're simply doing these things upon the order of our spiritual master, although we are actually not qualified to do these things by any means. So Jananivas, the pujari in Mayapur, told me that once he asked Srila Prabhupada, how should I do the service to the deities? So Prabhupada told him, you put one asana and I will do the puja. So even now Jananivas puts an asana for Prabhupada there when he does the service of the deity, puts one asana for Prabhupada. So this is, anyway, as I think you know, the mantra that you chant before you do the puja, it is simply by the mercy of the Guru that we are doing this service for Krishna. So anyway, this pastime of Akrura, pastimes of Akrura, the prayers which are offered by Akrura, they are very instructive. And you'll be hearing these the next few, the next few weeks. Some of the prayers don't have the purport, so probably you'll read through them very quickly. But anyway, this is an instructive thing, and we should also get into the habit of offering prayers to Krishna. If you can't offer the prayers in Sanskrit, you can offer some prayers in English. And Krishna will also understand these prayers. Thank you very much. Are there any questions about this verse? Yes, Prabhu.
You're saying that demons and all that end up in Vrindavan, so many demons try to attack Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, they can come, but they can't really enter into the inner part of Vrindavan. They come, but they cannot really go inside Vrindavan. I mean, the intimate parts of Vrindavan. So actually, the killing of the demons is done by avatar Krishna. But Krishna's, for example, his pastimes with the cowherd boys, his pastimes with the gopis, this is avatari Krishna, Krishna who is the source of avatars. So these demons, they may enter the area of Vrindavan, but not really touching Vrindavan. Vrindavan is covered by the covering of yoga maya, and anyone who is not a pure devotee, they cannot really enter there. It's like a plastic covering. You know what I mean? It's like there's a plastic covering. This is yoga maya. So no one who is not a pure devotee, anyone who is not a pure devotee, they cannot enter. They can only touch the plastic coating. Yeah. Yes, sir. Sorry. Yeah.
The demon, she entered actually the place where Krishna was born.
Yeah, but she was purified because she had some desire to offer her milk to Krishna. So she got purified by doing devotional service. And sometimes this also happens. Yeah. And Krishna accepted that she is my mother. She has offered me her milk, even though she was offering poison. But Krishna only accepted the good part. Yeah. Any more questions? What time does the class normally end?
About 9 o'clock.
Oh, 9 o'clock. Hare Krishna. About 9 o'clock. Well, maybe I'll tell you a few things about Indonesia. How about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have, in Indonesia, we have 18 temples. And four of them are in Bali, and the rest of them are in other places spread around Indonesia, which is a very big country. And mostly I'm involved. We have one temple which is in the mountains outside the city of Jakarta, Radha Govinda Temple, which has been there for quite a long time. And the deities are Radha Govinda, Lalita Vishaka, and Gornitai. And then also we have Prahlad Lakshmana Sringadev as well. There's about 40 devotees there on average. Mostly devotees, brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, come there to get trained up. Usually they spend 2 or 3 years. After that they get married and go back to the village or go to one of our other temples somewhere, one of our farms. Another place which I've been involved, I have some photos, later on you can see them, but we have a very big, we have a village actually in Sumatra, in a place called Lampung, which is the southernmost province of Sumatra. And there's, at the moment, there's nearly 100 devotees there, 30 families. And in the middle of the village we have a temple, Radha Madan Gopal, Lalita Vishaka, Gornitai, and also we have Prahlad Lakshmana Sringadev. And going around, the land is quite big, 60 hectares, 150 acres, and around the boundary of the land we made Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Vana, the forest of 1,000 trees of the names of Lord Vishnu. You have heard this prayer, Vishnu Sahasranama, perhaps? Some of you have heard this. The 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. It's a very well known in India. People chant this. So we planted 1,000 fruit trees around the border of our land. And in front of each tree, we put a plaque made of reinforced concrete. And on this plaque, it's written one of the names of Lord Vishnu with a translation in Indonesian and English. So you can walk around. It's 4.8 kilometers around the boundary of our land. It takes about 1.5 hours to walk. Mm-hmm. So you can walk, and each few meters there's one tree. The trees are 8 meters apart on alternate sides of the path, so there's 1,000 trees, and you can walk around while seeing all the names of Lord Vishnu like this. So it's a nice, you can practically almost finish your rounds walking around one time. And when we have festivals, we take the deities, we carry Krishna on a palanquin, we take all the deities around this. And halfway around we made a small cottage. So if you leave after greeting the deities, after Guru Puja, if we leave with the deities, by the time we get to this, which is halfway around, it's time to make the morning offering. So we make the morning offering there and have a little kirtan, and we keep on going like this. We go around. We did this quite a few times. And another thing that we do there is that we have Ratha Utsavam. We take Krishna on the chariot, which is pulled by a bull, and he go all the way around the village, stop in the front of the house of each of the devotees, and the devotees come out and they make a small aarti to Krishna. They break a coconut and offer some fruits and flowers and offer some rice to Krishna, I mean uncooked rice like this, and then they get some Mahaprasadam. And all of the small babies in the village get a chance to get put up on the feet of the deities. And there's a lot of small babies in that village. There's already 40 children. A lot of little children. Most of them are actually born in the village itself. I was telling Prabhu the other day, there are two little girls there, twins, and they were born when the conch shell sounded on Krishna Janmashtami. And the conch shell sounded for the aarti. They took birth at that moment. Kind of quite auspicious time to take birth, you know, on Krishna Janmashtami, in a village full of devotees. So, like this, and we have a kindergarten also, Gopal Kindergarten. At the moment there's 11 little kids, devotee kids in the kindergarten. And this year we're going to build a school, an elementary, primary school for the kids. And a lot of the devotees are qualified teachers, so they'll be teaching in our own school. The devotees are mostly doing farming. Most popular crop is tapioca, and then also they grow rice and corn, some other things, oil palm, palm oil, and pineapples, sugar cane, all these things you can grow. And Indonesia is nice because the whole year round you can grow crops. There's no winter. It's always summer in Indonesia. If you don't like winter, then Indonesia is a nice place to live. It's always, every day of the year is the same. It's like it's permanently summer. It's hot, yeah. Well, it gets up to 31, that's like the maximum. But the whole year, every day of the year is the same. The only difference is 6 months of raining and six dry season. So it's either raining or not raining. That's the only variation that you have. And anyway, that's a nice place. And we have another one in Kalimantan in Borneo, which is even bigger, called Ganga Sagarabaru. That's 120 hectares, 250 acres. It's low-lying land with a lot of water. So all the houses, including the temple, have to be built up on stilts. And you cannot get to that place by the road. You have to go by a boat, 3 hours up the river. There's no, it's not possible to enter that place with a car. 5 or 6 families are living there, and they have panchatattva deities, and they're planting rice. Maybe it's the only ISKCON temple in the world which is self-sufficient in rice. They have so much rice. They just plant the rice and it grows. They don't have to use any chemicals. The land is very fertile. And that one's called Ganga Sagarabaru. Another thing we have in Indonesia is we have some Krishna conscious student hostels which we made for the boys and girls who like to go to high school or university. So they stay in the hostel, and in the morning they have a morning program. But it's short, the whole thing, the morning program is finished in 1 hour. They have Mangalati, then straight after Mangalati they have Srimad Bhagavatam class for 15 or 20 minutes. Then they straight away have Guru Puja. The whole thing's finished in 1 hour. Because they have to go by 7 o'clock, they have to be in Indonesia, things start very early in the morning. Means school opens at 7 o'clock in the morning. So they have to finish the morning program quickly, and they go off. During the day they do their studies. And most of the devotees who have been in the hostels have done very well at school and university, because living in a hostel like that with devotees keeps them away from bad habits and different kinds of things. So they go off, and then in the afternoon they come back again, and then they have an evening program. They have Aarti and Bhagavad Gita class again, and then they do some studies. They all follow the principles, they all chant, and many, many boys and girls have gone through these hostels, and I mean they've graduated, they've done well in their studies, and they've become devotees. Most of them ended up getting initiated. And also another thing which happens, that many of the boys from the boys' hostel got married to girls from the girls' hostel. I mean, quite nice, you know. The husband and wife, they're all devotees. Husband and wife are both devotees. There's a good chance that they'll be able to be devotees for the rest of their life. But if you marry somebody who is not a devotee, it's very, very difficult to maintain one's Krishna consciousness. So we encourage them in that respect. And a lot of these boys and girls now, they're living in our farm, Gita Nagari Baru, and they have their children, so they can see their life stretching out ahead of them in Krishna consciousness. They don't have any worries. So like this, it's going on. And some of the other ashrams we have one in Manukwari, which is Irianjaya Barat, the western part of Papua New Guinea, is part of Indonesia. So we have a small ashram on the shore of the Pacific Ocean there, and we have a few devotees living there. And the local people, they like kirtan and they like prasadam. Mm-hmm. That's about as far as we've gone so far with the local people. We went up in the mountains. We went up in the mountains and we had a big kirtan, because the people up, they still use bows and arrows and spears up there. I mean, they carry around bows and arrows and spears with them. So we went up in the village. We put tilak on everybody, Even we put tilak on the local Christian priest, and we had this big kirtan. We had this big kirtan for hours and hours, and then we served prasadam, and they liked it so much. They liked it so much. So whenever now, if anyone goes up, if any devotee comes up in the village, they all say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like this. Maybe they don't understand what it is, but they like the kirtan, and the people are very friendly, very nice, and very friendly. They come up and shake your hand. Hare Krishna, like this. So that's one of our ashrams, and that ashram they have more or less self-sufficient. They're growing vegetables. Even they're making, maybe you might be interested, they're making these fragrant oils from flowers and so forth. Natural fragrant. They have their own small thing for making these fragrant oils like they do in Vrindavan without using alcohol. And also they've been making what they call virgin coconut oil from coconuts. That's medicinal oil from coconuts. So, yeah, that's one another ashram. And some other ashrams are there in different parts of Indonesia. But Indonesia is a very big country and it all consists of islands. So you have to go from one island to another. Either you can go by ship, or now there's also a lot of flights going here and there. So I think altogether now in Indonesia there must be probably more than 2,000 devotees, I mean initiated devotees. There's a lot of devotees in Indonesia, but most of them are in Bali, some of them are in other places. And Indonesian people like religion. Religion is very popular in Indonesia. Most of the people are Muslims, but there are also some Christians and Hindus, and the devotees also, there's quite a lot. But people in Indonesia, for them religion is very important. Whatever religion they may be following, but Indonesian people generally they like religion. Yeah. So anyway, any of you are welcome. If you happen to be passing through that way, please come and give us your association. I've been twisting Aniruddha's arm for quite a long time, but he hasn't so far come. But we hope that he'll drop in sometime and give us his association. And any questions? Sorry. He comes mostly. He goes to Bali. The other places not so much. Yeah, probably because most of the devotees, there's a lot of devotees in Bali, so he goes there mostly. Some of these other places are a little bit remote, but anyway. But,
when you have tsunami, yeah. How far is it? What will affect it?
No.
Bali?
Yeah, the tsunami was in the northern end of Sumatra. So from where we have our, from Gitanagari Baru, which is also in Sumatra, our village, it's about 2,200 kilometers to the other end of Sumatra. So no devotees were there when that happened. There are a couple of devotees working there now in this relief operations. There are a couple of devotees up there now. But at that time there were no devotees close to that place.
Indonesia is a predominantly Muslim country.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have devotees coming from Muslim families?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Does that create trouble?
Generally not. My wife is from a Muslim family. Generally not. They don't mind. They appreciate that we follow the four regulated principles. The Muslims appreciate that. And I was going to mention to you also in connection with this verse, Prabhupada also said this, that the Muslims, they cannot appreciate deity worship. But their religion is mostly consisting of vandanam, offering prayers. Islam is more prayers, offering of prayers to the Lord. So in that respect, that's the devotional aspect of Islam, offering of prayers. They offer very nicely, and with great feeling, they offer prayers like this, but they don't have deity worship. Deity worship for them is very difficult to understand. But the four regulative principles, they appreciate that. We have our farm in this Radhagovinda temple in the mountains outside the city of Jakarta. And it's in the middle of a Muslim village. Everyone else in the village is a Muslim, except the devotees. So we've always kept a very good relationship with the Muslims, with the people who are in charge of the mosques. We give them, when they have their holy days, we give them prasadam. Especially we distributed a lot of prasadam to the Muslims. But we can't really, I mean, preach to them, but slowly, slowly they appreciated very much, and even some of them started coming around to our temple, even. And at one point, some radicals tried to make some trouble. So these people, the people from the mosques, actually came and spoke in our defense. They said, these people are more religious than we are. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't womanize, they don't gamble, they don't do all these things. Now, they're actually more religious than we are, so you don't, please don't make trouble for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfectly, one devotee from Iran.
Yeah.
Told me that there was about 400 devotees
in Iran. In Iran, yeah.
Iran's like 97 Muslim,
yeah.
So
yeah.
They're Muslim background.
Yeah.
He said they have free restaurants, and they have contact with the government, and the government
yeah.
knows what they're about, and they also appreciate the freedom of principle.
Yeah.
But they don't have any G's, because
yeah.
they said if we had to come and find out,
yeah.
they killed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah. 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 More or less. I know some of the devotees from Iran also. Yeah. So we just pray that Lord Chaitanya is patita pavana. We just pray to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda that you please, just like Lord Chaitanya gave his mercy to Chand Kazi, please give your mercy to all of the Muslims because they need it like anything. Yeah. Any more questions? Yes?
Are those still stressful or they are very liars? Generally, in general. Usually we see the liars.
Oh. Well, actually, in the Mahabharata, Maharaj Yudhisthira was asked the question that which is the best nationality, I mean, which kind of people are the best people? So Yudhisthira Maharaj answered the question by saying that good people and bad people are found everywhere. So even among the Hindus there are also bad people and there are also good people. Among the Australians there are good Australians and bad Australians. Good Australian is Prabhu Aniruddha. So many years, I was thinking yesterday, so many years Prabhu Aniruddha is here serving Radha Balaba. So many, many, many years he's keeping this temple going at all costs. And I mean, this is a wonderful thing. And similarly, there are also bad Australians as well. There are good Australians and bad Australians. There are good Muslims and bad Muslims. So some of them are good, basically good people. And even Prabhupada said if someone, Prabhupada said he had a dream that there's one heavenly planet where pious Muslims go. Yeah, he said like this. But they're basically like Islam and Christianity, the religion, the description only goes up to the level of the heavenly planets. Not they don't have a description of what we understand as being Vaikuntha or liberation. Their concept only goes up to the heavenly planets. So some of these people are quite, I mean, they really pray five times, they do this, they fast for a month, they do all these kinds of things. Some of them are quite pious. Some of them, they do this, yeah, they do the prayers five times. Sometimes I thought, if only we were that serious about Krishna consciousness, we would all become pure devotees and go back to God. If we're serious about Krishna consciousness, as they are about their religion. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think we can generalize and say that all Muslims are bad. Some of them are nice people. Of course, some of them are not nice people, but the same goes for the Hindus. Even the same goes for any race of people in the world. Yeah.
Once they are devotees, they are very good.
Yeah. Well, it mentions, in this verse it mentions, here we find, I was going to talk about this particular word, Mahamati. Mahamati means greatly, Prabhupada is translated as high-minded, like great, it means like greatly intelligent.
Yeah.
So Akrura, because he was a great devotee, is mentioned here as great intelligent. So anyone who is a devotee of Krishna, Jai Krishna Bhaje Shai Borucha, anyone who is worshipping Krishna, it means they must be very intelligent. This is the most intelligent thing. I was coming along, I took the tram this morning from way out north Bowen to the city, and I was seeing so many computer shops. Everything is computerized. This is not actually real intelligence.
No.
Real intelligence is how to worship Krishna nicely. This is real intelligence. Technology is yantra gyan. This is just material knowledge. It's not real intelligence. So Akrura was called Mahamati, greatly intelligent, not because he had a degree in computer science, but because he was a great devotee of Krishna, and he knew how to offer beautiful prayers to Krishna. So for that reason he's best Mahamati. So we should become intelligent like this, not how to nice material arrangement for enjoyment of material life, but rather we should try to make a nice arrangement for Krishna's pleasure, and how to make a nice arrangement that people will become Krishna conscious. Especially this prasadam is very effective. Yeah, for all these years people in Australia have been eating prasadam. And Gopals and Crossways have been going on for so many, many, many... How many plates of prasadam? Millions probably, if you add them up.
A lot.
Huh? A lot of plates of prasadam have gone out. So all of this just has an effect. It has an effect, and it makes people become pious. It makes them become interested in Krishna consciousness, ultimately. Yeah. Any more questions? Yes?
Krura means cruel, actually, in Sanskrit.
Yes.
Krura means completely
cruel. Yeah, yeah. But the gopis were criticizing Akrura. And they cursed him and they said, your name means not cruel.
Yes.
But how is it that you are being cruel and taking our Krishna out from Vrindavan? Akrura means not cruel. But you are Krura, you are being cruel because you are taking Krishna away.
From us.
Yeah. Sorry? Oh. See, this is another thing I noticed. I came here yesterday. Nobody knows me anymore, only Aniruddha. Gauramana loved me. I was a long time ago. I became a devotee in Melbourne in 1972, which is probably before many of you were born. And I worked on this temple when we got this place in 1974, and it used to be a school. So I worked on this building, under the floor, on the roof, everything. I have so many memories. Yeah. We put this Vyasasan together and the altar, so many things. I put the lights. I remember when Prabhupada came here and did the installation of Gaunitai. Yeah.
No models.
Sorry?
No models from here.
No, it was a school, it was a classroom.
Yeah.
Two school classrooms. And this door, this is where doors are on, that to the bottom. So we had to do the whole thing and fix it up. It was a big job, very big job. We did that, and I remember towards the end, Prabhupada was coming. I didn't sleep for 3 days. The last thing I remember doing was putting the lights and the altars. I was dressed in overalls. I installed the lights and the altars, and I came out and I went upstairs on the top. That was used to be the Brahmachari ashram. After that, I don't remember anything. I woke up on the floor. I actually passed out. Unconscious. So many things we did. We put bringing Gaunitai, they were so heavy to lift them and put them. And Prabhupada himself did the aarti. I remember Srila Prabhupada doing the aarti to Gaunitai. So people how much devotion Srila Prabhupada had when he was offering the aarti. Sorry?
The other picture in the room.
Prabhupada doing the aarti. Yeah. And Prabhupada, sorry?
How did they get the
tejas in? Well, they brought them into the backyard using a mobile crane, I remember that. And then we unpacked them and we used this hand truck, and finally we had to lift them. I think six or eight of us had to lift them. Six, I think Hari Sori was there, myself and a few others. And we're able to lift them, but they're very heavy, very, very. And no possibility of putting them into a snana vedi to doing the bathing. You have to. And probably the ashkan water and yogurt was running down on the floor. There was no other way.
We had on the 30th anniversary, we did an abhishek and we built
in my sandbags.
You invited me, but unfortunately at that time I couldn't come. But if you invite me another time, I'll come. That Prabhupada was so happy. I mean, to see that so many Australians worshipping Krishna, Prabhupada was very, very happy. He said, who would have thought that, who would have thought in such a place he's worshipping Krishna? He was very, very happy that time. And he was sitting up there in his room and speaking very nice. Yeah. Any more questions?
Balaram was there?
Yeah, Balaram was there. He was the temple president. Yeah. Alright. Any more? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Balava Sri Sri Gonitai. Sri Sri Jagannath Balaram Subhadra ki jai. Jai Gaura Premananda.